Our nation is going through a political change. Of course, our new administration had ran on a ticket and a platform of change, and change we have seen. As a pastor, I'm not allowed by law to tell you what to do or what to believe, but I feel that I can inform you of what's happening without violating the Internal Revenue Service law of being a nonprofit tax-exempt organization. We never before in the history of this land have had czars. We've always had cabinet ministers, people who were appointed by the president, approved by the Senate, that ran the different department heads of our government. But already we have 26 czars, men appointed solely at the discretion of the President of the United States by executive order, that controls the automobile industry, that controls just the banking industry, that controls the Wall Street industry. Everybody is subject to that czar. This has all been passed by Congress. They have given up the authority of approving that. And we're seeing develop a system in this country that we've never had before. And that is that everything is being run by one branch of the government, and that's the executive, underneath the direction of these czars. Right. Now, I can't say whether it's going to work or not work, but I'll say this, it's not what America's accustomed to. We're already finding that there's conflict between, you say, the head of the Department of Energy in conflict with a czar of energy. I said to you folks a few weeks ago that we've never had a person before like the Secretary of Homeland Security that has more authority than the president has. They're not subject to the EPA laws. They have 242,000 employees underneath them, and they're over the National Guard, the Border Patrol, the Customs Agent, the Alcohol Firearms Division, and so many other things that we've never had anybody like that before. And it happens to be our former governor, Janet Napolitano, which to me makes her the most powerful woman in the world. And so I can say this as a Christian. I don't think it's going to get better and more spiritual. I don't think that we're going to become more of a Christian nation. We're going to be forbidden to do so many things that we've had convictions before to do. There's going to turn out to be a medical czar, somebody who makes the decisions for you and your insurance company. Now, I'm not just speaking this off of the cuff and taking the negative that I hear, because I don't know anybody who has read the entire bill that they call H.R. 3200, which is the health reform bill, which Congress is debating now, and the House and the Senate, which they're having all these town halls and everything about. But I have read reviews of it, and I have found a review that was published by the magazine called The World, WORLD. It is a Christian-oriented magazine. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I've been a subscriber to it ever since they started publishing it years ago, but their staff has read the entire bill, and they have published a little paper on it called The Washington's Prescription. In there, there's about 10 points that they make, and they say this is the government's prescription for your health care. One of them is the government will define your health benefits. And they say that answer is on page 301, paragraph 3019. They give you chapter and verse, so to speak. They didn't just pull it out of the air or for some television or cable news commentator or somebody's article, they have read the bill, and they say, this is what the bill says. The government will issue you a health ID card. It says, chapter and verse, where it says it'll do that. The government will define how doctors manage their time. Chapter and verse, what they tell them to do. The government will order you to get end-of-life counseling and show proof. Chapter and verse, what it says. Now, yesterday I was in a position that I heard the President Obama's speech in Colorado on health care. And I told my wife afterwards that I think it's the first time I've heard him speaking to a group of people without using a teleprompter. And he looked like and sounded like a preacher. He had his microphone, he had his sleeves rolled up, his collar unbuttoned, and he would get asked a question, and he would answer the question. And I have to say honestly that I agreed with his answers. All of them. I understood what he was trying to say. And so I want you to know that I think some people have got their minds made up, so don't confuse them with the facts. But really, whatever you and I say, it's going to happen the way that the politicians say. And it will, things will not get better for us. They will get worse. We're living in that day and that age. And whether you believe he's qualified, whether you agree with his politics or not, the truth is he's President of the United States for the next 3.5 years. Yeah. And Congress is Democratic right now, and maybe that'll change next year. Maybe it won't. But I know that if we want an absolute, we have to find what the Scripture says. Regardless of who is the Prime Minister of Israel, God's in charge. And I could say this, I think, thus saith the Lord, that the sons of Ishmael will not overthrow and destroy the sons of Isaac. If they do, then Bible prophecy set back thousands of years, and I don't believe we got that much time. Now, here we are as a group of people that we believe God has blessed us and sent us a prophet for this age. We believe that God has visited this generation with a mighty prophet. We believe that his name was Brother William Brown. We have read his sermons. We have heard his tapes. We believe what he says is the truth. There's some things about it we have misunderstandings on. Some things we complain about the way some people say about it. But at the present time, I don't want to complain. I want to explain. I don't want to correct. I want to clarify. And I will say this to you, since I'm your pastor, if you claim me. This is a very hard time for me emotionally. My emotions this week have been like a yo-yo. There have been times when I've felt like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. And there's been times when I've felt pathetic, unworthy, like a coward. Like running, like just quitting. If you fault me for that, well then, you know, Jonah was the same way, and I guess what keeps me from running is I'm afraid of the whale. And I appreciate you laughing. That helps. That we can be humorous about it instead of serious. But I have no doubt that God has called me and blessed me to be a part of this message. And as Brother Neville said, maybe I don't believe it like you do, but I'm identified with it. Good, bad, ugly, right or wrong. Just about everywhere you go in the world, I'm identified with this message. Some, I'm a hero. I'm an icon. Others, I'm a faithful witness. To others, I'm a devil. I'm a demon. I'm a false prophet. I'm a false teacher. And sometimes that gets to your emotions. If there's anything that I would like to see, it's the brethren get together and agree. And have unity. Brother Brown speaks a number of times about getting the brothers together in Jeffersonville. And he's saying we all should say the same thing. But then he'll come along and say, but it don't happen that way. He even talked about Peter and Paul having differences. He gives examples about how he could believe one thing in Jeffersonville and one of the other brothers, Brother Willard Crace or Brother Ruddle or Brother Junie Jackson or somebody else could have another opinion. But one thing they should do is to stay to be brothers.
Amen.
He talks about people being able to stand toe-to-toe and disagree and still love one another.
Yes,
and in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, that series, he says, if you can't, then you need to go back to the altar and get saved again. But that doesn't seem to have an effect on some people. They feel that it's legitimate and it makes them feel good to be against somebody else and to show them how wrong they are. It's like I've said a number of times to you people over these 42 or 3 years I've been here, that when I came here, I thought this would be like a utopia. If we had any differences, we'd get together and find out what Brother Branham said that'd be it. But after about 2.5-3 years here, I decided this bunch will never get together. They'll never love one another. For about 11 years, I labored underneath that they won't. And then I got a revelation one day that the utopia does not depend on everybody loving me, but me loving everybody. In spite of myself, in spite of them, in spite of their attitude, I should love them. I must love them. I've got to love them. Sometimes you just say, well, it's more than I can bear. Well, any time that you start doing something for the Lord, you're not going to get a free pass. And I appreciate what you people say, like Johnny had you say amen a while ago, that they say my mic is known, okay? I just now looked at it. So. I guess I'm talking on that one, huh? Now, that it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Somebody get up and holler next time. Point to the screen or something. Now? I often tell the brothers, and I put this thing on back here, that it's not made for Holy Ghost-filled men. You get one on, the other one comes off. I know what it is. I've got it hanging on my belt backwards. And that's what I did. I flipped it wrong. It's just an old man. Forgive me. See there? Maybe I ought to retire. Maybe I should retire. Oh, thank you. You're nice. Oh, I believe that. I believe God loves me.
Amen.
But that still doesn't keep my emotions from being affected. And I guess what is so confusing about it sometimes is that you can find where Brother Branham says something all the way through the message. From 47 all the way to 65. Like Brother Branham says, there's 3 comings of the Lord. He never changed it. Almost says it word for word every time. Pages after pages of it. Quote after quote. And there'll be brothers will tell you, no, there's only 2 comings. And the second one's on now and it's almost over. Well, you know, they're my brothers. You can read it to them in black and white. Give it to them in print. Let them hear Brother Bram say it. And they still don't change.
Yeah.
Then you wonder, what are you up against? Then I hear Brother Branham saying, you know, that like he was planning on going hunting over at Sunset, over at Klondike, and he got this call from the people in Houston, Texas, in February of '63, And so he canceled his trip to go hunting the first day of the season. And he and Brother Softman and Brother Norman, they drive to Houston. Brother Branham preaches that night on March the 4th, the message, Absolute. And that was the second time Brother Branham had preached it within 2 months. In 1962, starting on December the 23rd, he preached Absolute. Then he preached it in Houston on March the 4th. Then in July, he preaches it again. And then December the 21st in Shreveport, he preaches it a fourth time. Now, you look at the index of messages, and you won't find any message that Brother Brown preached four times that year. He preached the seals that year. But I would say that his theme, starting at the night before he preached Surges It's a Time, and finishing up the year in Shreveport, Louisiana at the Thanksgiving meetings, he wanted us to understand that there's an absolute. And that absolute wasn't spoken word books. That absolute, he called it the Word. And that was the Bible that Brother Brown was referring to. And that's the reason I hold it to be so dear to me that Brother Branham said, keep my balance in the Scriptures. Yes. Now, Brother Branham said those men down there, they called him and he said, I'm going to go down there. But he said, you could tell them what happened. You could tell them about that pillar of fire in Houston. But he said, regardless of even what you showed them and what science said, they couldn't believe it. Because they're not predestinated to believe it. Well, Brother Branham had that same difficulty. Here it was, he said, look at all the proof we've got. But yet people didn't believe it. And you can't tell me that wasn't discouraging to him. Now, when it comes to myself with this, that I feel that, and I cannot deny that I believe God set it up for me in Germany last month to start this clarification and to do it all at one time there for the benefit of the people who were there and get it recorded, translated into German and French at the same time so that all the people of Europe could either understand it in English or German or French, and the people of Africa could understand it in English, German or French. And this has been a burden on my heart since September 2 years ago when I found the people there worshiping the cloud. And I didn't fully understand why, except that somebody had taken and decoupaged the picture of Hoffman's Head of Christ and the cloud together, and they saw that. But when I started this series and I reread the 82 pages of quotes, every time Brother Branham mentions the cloud, or the face, or the mist, or the angels, or Life magazine, and read them all in sequence, I can understand how somebody could take one quote and believe that. But you can't take them all. But it's almost impossible to take, Sirs, Is This the Time? And then take, What is the Attraction on the Mountain? And then take the rapture, which he withheld, didn't release it, and put those three together and let the rapture tell you what he meant and Sirs, Is This the Time? Or Sirs, Is This the Time? Tell you what he meant on What is the Attraction of the Mountain? Because Brother Branham summarizes things. And he brings together events to hear somebody else tell it. Well, the appearance of the cloud and the angels coming to him and his dream in Sirs, Is This the Time? It's all one event. Well, Brother Branham, don't teach it that way. But if that's what you want to hear, that's what you're going to be listening to. And when I come along and try to clarify it, there's people who say, you know, Peregrine don't believe this, Peregrine don't believe that. I want everybody to know I believe every word Brother Branham said. But excuse me, only because he says it, his words are not infallible. He says the Bible is infallible, but my words are not. Now, if you make him infallible, then you make him wrong on that statement. Oh, but you've got to have an understanding what he meant. Well, you know, when you start putting your understanding and your interpretation, that's where the problems come in. Now, this week I got into this because I wanted to bring it to the congregation for which I'm responsible for. And it got so heavy and so deep. And I read so much that my eyes got blurry on me. And I was about ready to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to bring that pressure on myself. I'm just going to leave everybody with their misunderstandings and I'll just get up and preach salvation and the gospel and the simplicity of the message. And yesterday afternoon, about the time I made the decision, the fax machine started rattling in my office. And at 7:34, I got 43 pages of quotes. At 8 o'clock, I got 6 pages of quotes from another source, plumb out of the state. And that one was telling me, Brother Green, if there's anything that the people of this message, especially the brothers overseas, needs, they need a full story.
Yes. Right.
They need to know all the facts.
Amen.
Not just what somebody's come and told them, and they've believed it for years, but the rest of the facts.
Right.
All the story. Brother Bram said this, but he also said this, and he also said this. And then let people make up their minds. And if their revelation doesn't fit everything he said, then something's wrong.
That's right.
Brother Graham says that's so simple. If you can't take what you believe from Genesis to Revelation,
amen,
if there's one verse of Scripture against it, you got it wrong somewhere.
Right. Right.
Folks, they not only have the cow eating grass out of the top of the tree. Let's see, I heard yesterday the tree is growing on Saturn underwater. Did I get that right? Is that the way it goes? Now, and I don't think there's any water on Saturn. You know, some people, you ask them, and the only answer they can give you is, well, that's a revelation.
Right.
Where did the revelation come from?
Right.
I hear Brother Bram say, Satan will give you a revelation if you seek one. A revelation is something that the gates of hell won't prevail against. You shouldn't be able to find a quote against it. You shouldn't have to make it a mystical thing. And I think I've told this story before because Brother Galdona, the first time I ever heard it, told it right here in his pulpit. He said that when the liberator of Venezuela and Colombia and Bolivia, Simon Bolivar, was in South America. He's like the George Washington of South America. When he was in Colombia and they were conquering the country, one of his leaders or generals went into the Catholic Church and stole the crown off of the Virgin Mary statue. And, of course, the priest caught him and he was going to be put to death over it. And Simon Bolivar loved this man, and so he goes and talks to this man, and he says, here's what I want you to do. And so when the priest gets up and brings the evidence against the leader, there was no doubt that the man had the crown. He was a thief. He had taken it, and he got caught at it. So when they gave the evidence against him, well, then he gets up and he tells the story that Simon Bolivar made up for him. He said, you're just a poor soldier, and you're away from home, and your wife and children are back in Venezuela, and they need food and clothing, and you went into the church to pray, and the Virgin Mary took her crown off and handed it to you, and said, here, sell this and feed your family. And Simon Bolivar stood up and said, that's a miracle! Well, could the priest go against that? Could he say, no, she didn't do that? She can't do that? Now, that's a true story. Now, you wonder where that fits. It's the same way when you start trying to explain this message to somebody, and they tell them, well, brother, you won't get it. That's a revelation. And who wants to talk against a revelation? It's something that the gates of hell won't prevail against. And I can honestly say that every time that a brother has come up with a tangent revelation or something, I have gone to them and asked them, where do you get that? And when they give me the quotes, I can see where they have misinterpreted something or misplaced something. And when I try to explain it to them, they won't take that. They accuse me of prejudice. You take, for example, there's been a lot of photographs taken that there's been pillars of fire appear on. Videos where pillars of fire come in and go around the audience. And when they ask me, I told them I wasn't an expert. I didn't know. I hadn't seen it. And so they go away and they say, Brother Green saw this, and he said he'd never seen anything like that in his life. Well, that's true, but it wasn't said that away. But I found out right here in this church when my daughter Tina used a video camera the first time in here for a wedding that the candlesticks followed the people back down the aisle. And when I go to Rose Magnavox and ask them what kind of filter you had put on, they said, oh, anytime there's a bright light in the lens of a video camera, it'll burn itself in there and it'll stay there and be on everything it pictures until it erases itself. Well, if you take a video camera and you poof, set a flash bulb off in the middle of it, you're going to have a pillar of fire. And if you pan that camera around, that pillar of fire is going to go wherever that, and whoever's there is going to be in the middle of that pillar of fire. Well, people says, I'm making fun of that. I'm simply stating that that's not supernatural.
Amen.
That's man-made. And if some, I think if somebody is sincere, they should say, thank you, Brother Green. I appreciate that. But no, instead, they accuse me of being prejudiced against somebody else's belief. But look, I don't want anything false.
Amen.
We've got too much that's real.
Yes. Amen.
I've seen people take pictures with a camera, and every time it's got a red streak on it and runs off the edge, they come along and say, look, here's something supernatural. No, there's something wrong with that camera. One camera I'm in particular mind of, every picture I've ever seen has got that. Well, I got a leak in that camera. It's got a loose gasket somewhere. But yet, there's people that will believe that.
Right.
And look, did you see this supernatural? And I'm sorry, folks, if I don't get enthused about it. But look, it takes the presence of God to make something supernatural.
Amen.
But if you're looking for something, you're gonna take it and believe it. And just first thing you know, that's all you're talking about. You're looking for those signs and wonders of what. But where is the presence of God? And here's the crux of the matter. If the Lord Jesus came in 1963 the way many say he did, and that now the bride, we are his body, then I have to say I'm disappointed. Because I even put myself in this category. Who do I know that I can look at and say that I see a reflection of Jesus Christ? Me? The least of them. But I believe that if we have the Spirit of Christ in us, people will be able to see Jesus in us. And I believe this bride will reflect Jesus Christ. And when I put it on myself that way, I say, what's happened to me? After preaching this message to others, am I myself a castaway? Or is there something that I can deny myself and come to the place to where people won't see or hear Perry Green, but see Jesus Christ?
Amen. That's right.
And yesterday, when I was just about to the place to say it's hopeless for me, the fax machine started rattling. And everything that came over it, one at 7:34, one at 8:51, one at 8 o'clock, one at 10:52. It told me what I needed to hear. I had that prepared to bring to you this morning. I had the quotes. But I knew I was going to run out of time, and I don't want to rush that. So let me begin by giving you one quote from Brother Branham. And I didn't give it to you boys back there, but it's 1963. It's July the 28th. It's Christ is the mystery of God revealed. In the books, it's volume 3, number 7. And it's paragraph 30, or page 33, paragraph 1. And I'll read it. Now, the coming of the Lord is in mystery. We don't know when He's coming, how He's coming, but we know He's coming.
Amen.
Now, I want you to look at the date. This is July the 28th, 1963. The seals were preached in March of 63. The cloud appeared on February the 28th. Now, this is Brother Branham talking in July. We don't know when He's coming, how He's coming, but we know He's coming.
Amen.
Now, I don't know, but that all sounds like future events to me.
Yes.
And so was all the mysteries of God waiting for this last day. After it's already been completed, then He reveals, He shows what He's done. Never gave His mystery in full. It's just like this, comparing the seven seals now. When God used Martin Luther, you can't find it? Sir? When God used Martin Luther for the coming out, for that first church, that church age, and when He used John Wesley and He gradually brought them out and was revealing in them that church age, when anyone goes back through the Bible now and find out, but in the last days, this is paragraph 3 on page 33, the reason that was such a tremendous thing that He spoke of it here and showed those seven thunders, and look, and Life magazine then packed that circle of a cloud and light there that they could not understand and don't know it yet. But here telling, go there and wait for these mysteries to be revealed. And here months before it happened, and that was in, sirs, is this the time? And then it happened at exactly the way He said it would do. Did you notice in that picture, even that angel on the right when he was being materialized, coming down, with his wings back and his head sitting sideways, there it is right there in the picture, just exactly, months before it happened, told here that He's going to bring the body of believers together to reveal and take up them loose ends. Now, Brother Branham said that this is something that God has always done.
Amen.
That when He does something, He always declares it in the heavens first. And so it happened with the seals. The cloud came, it was there, people saw it, they didn't know what it was. Then the seven angels came to Brother Branham. And this is what I want to try to do in the future, to show how Brother Branham spoke. Sirs, is this the time? Saying throughout that sermon, I don't know, what do you think it is? Could it be this? And then you can't take that question and make the answer over here, even though Brother Branham does say that when he brought it, it was prophecy, but now it's fulfilled.
Right.
Because he's not talking about everything that he said on that tape.
Right.
Because if he did, then he contradicts so many other things he said on the other.
Right. Yes.
And when you don't take everything Brother Branham said, You can get a picture of a cow eating grass out of the top of a tree.
Amen.
And so many people, like the brother who sent me the quotes, telling me that this group of people overseas, they need to hear all the facts, because Brother Green, they've been taught this by brothers, but that's not what that's not everything Brother Branham said.
Amen.
And the brothers who are friendly enough to me to talk to me about this say, Brother Green, not everybody tells the whole story. They find one quote and that's what they believe. And I call that popcorn preaching. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life and die and go to hell. Boom! But that's not everything Brother Branham said in that paragraph. You can have what some people call the Holy Ghost. You can speak in tongues and shout and so forth like some people did. You can have a Pentecostal experience the way the world describes it and die and go to hell. But listen, if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have a seal of God in your life. And nothing can remove you from the love of God. So why do you want to give it a false slant? Why don't you want to say what the absolute says? And see, even the way you responded to it makes it come to be that. Now, I wanted to start on these quotes this morning of taking these four segments because this is what I had prepared. I had made a list. I'd made an outline. And I was going to contact Sandra on the phone, ask her to research this, pull this. I was going to ask Brother Dale to do it. And before I could get the phone in my hand, it came on the fax machine. Now, you can believe it or disbelieve it. But I was so excited about it when I saw it, I just sat in my chair for about 5 minutes, stunned.
Amen.
Now, I've heard of God answering people's prayers before they ever prayed them, because God knew what they had need of. And I want to believe that God knew what was happening to me, and this was the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And it thrills me when I hear somebody tell me they heard Brother Donnie Reagan or one of their brothers on the streaming, and he preached so-and-so, and that's the same thing that I had brought that Sunday or the Sunday before or something. And I say that when that happens, it encourages me to know, well, maybe I am listening to God.
Amen.
Maybe this is the Holy Ghost. We're all bride and we're listening. Now, I don't know whether it encourages somebody else if they hear I've done what they've done or something, but it does me. When I hear that I know that God has dealt with me about a subject or something, about a direction, and then God deals with somebody else in the same way.
Yes.
And so these faxes last night were encouragement to me. They were a blessing to me, and it only, you might say, as Brother Jackson said, put more hay on my fork than I'm able to deliver today. But when I saw what Brother Branham was saying, and he distinctly says that he canceled one meeting, or engagement, I think he calls it, to go to Houston. Now, you may not think that's important, but I think for us to place Brother Branham at the right place helps us understand what happened.
Amen.
Even though we'll read quotes where Brother Branham said, Not during the time that he was preaching the seals, because he never mentioned the cloud during the seals. But yet the seal book says he did, with a picture in the back of it that said, this is a picture of the cloud that Brother Branham refers to a numerous of times in these messages. And I've read the book, and I don't find where Brother Branham even mentions the cloud. And so this automatically put the thought in people's minds all over the world when they read the seal book. Well, Brother Branham was there when that cloud was in the heavens.
Yeah.
And then once they've got that belief and they preach it, then when you point it out to them that Brother Branham wasn't there, yeah, but Brother Branham says there was a mist and there was a ring and it was a cloudy and so forth. But then you take and you run research on what he said with cloud and mist, it doesn't mean the same thing.
Right.
Yet there's people that'll put you out of the message.
Brother Branham, in a question and answer session, says we're here to find out how a deacon should act and a trustee's responsibilities and how we as believers should act. And he said, you say one brother does one way or another, and you put him out? Hey, that happens.
Right.
I don't know any two churches, any two congregations that do church order exactly alike.
Amen.
But I know some that'll have you arrested for disturbing the peace if you shake somebody's hand in their church. When I've told you folks before that Brother Branham scared the living daylights out of me. At a wedding rehearsal, he left the church, and I'm helping Uncle Doc clean up the church, and I'm careful not even to bump the pew with the chair with a broom I'm using. And he comes back in the church and steps in the pulpit and says, "Brother Perry, where are you staying?" And I've got my back to the pulpit, and I'm looking back, and I think God has called my name. And I turned around and looked, and I said, "Sir?" He said, "Where are you staying?" Well, that's contrary to every interpretation I'd ever been given on it. Well, he might as well not have had church for a month. Somebody spoke out loud. And I walk up to him at the pulpit, and I get up next to him, and I say, "I'm staying at Holiday Inn over in Clarksville." He said, "I'll see you there for breakfast in the morning at 7 o'clock. Well, folks, we'd had breakfast that morning at Jerry's, and I spent the rest of that day and night wondering, what have I done that he wanted to see me again in the morning? I'll tell you what I did. I walked the floor all night long. Now, I'm being honest with you about it. But then somebody comes along and tells me Brother Branham was against you being friendly, and you can't say a word because he talks about a little child running across, you might as well dismiss church. And then he didn't practice it. You make him a hypocrite.
Right.
Oh, but I have no proof that he did that. See, that's what they say. That's Perry Green's word. Well, how does that make me feel? Why tell them? Let them just be formal and take all friendliness out of it. Till some people come and say, "That's the most unfriendly bunch of people I've ever met in my life. They won't speak to you." I don't find that being Christian. I don't find that Brother Branham's interpretation, his way of acting. I don't believe in cutting up in a church and joking and laughing and that. But I think there's a way to be reverent and be friendly.
Amen.
And sometimes I think I let you people go a little too far in this reading. I said the other day, watch yourself. Don't get loose with it. You know, that's what happens when you don't just hold people down legally tight. People want to abuse it. But I think we have an absolute.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And I've done it again. This message is 51 minutes long. Come back tonight and I'll play it for you tonight. But if there's anything that I would recommend you to listen in preparation of what we're going to bring, I'd like for you to take what is the attraction on the mountain. Now it's tape number 65, preached July the 25th in the evening, and it's paragraph 122 through 148. Now, I cannot find any other place in the message where Brother Branham covers these subjects. He tells part of the dream he had before Sirs is this a time. He tells the history of him coming out west. He tells the story of the sword appearing in his hand. He very distinctly says he went hunting after he went to Houston. Then he tells about going hunting and the angels appearing while he's hunting. He even tells about meeting with Brother Norman and Brother Sothman. Then he gives a description. And to me, it sounds like part of his feeling about the angels when they left him and when they picked him up, as was the cloud itself. But now, I caution you to hear Brother Branham tell stories, experiences, and sometimes he tells this one and this one and this one, and he puts them all together, and you think there's only one experience, but it's three separate events. Now, if you can't separate that in your mind, then you never will get it straight. Well, Brother Branham said it that way, that's the way I'm going to believe it. Well, then what you do is you get questions you can't answer yourself.
Right.
Now, you may say, well, you don't have to explain this to a believer. Now, that's what some of the pastors told me. Why worry about this, Perry? The cloud came, Brother Branham came, the seven angels came. You see, that's all right for us as believers. But when we put this in a book, or we put it on the internet, or we go and testify to it, and then there's other people who don't have your revelation, and they come and say, but Brother Branham said this, and how come you say he didn't say that? You see, you can be responsible for causing somebody to doubt this.
Right.
Now, you won't stop a predestinated seed from believing it.
Amen. Right.
Somehow or another, God will reveal the truth to them. But you can become a stumbling block, especially if the revelation hadn't done you any good to start off with. And hereby shall all men know that you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus, because you love one another.
Amen.
And if you can't love the Baptist, or the Methodist, or the Catholic, as much as you love one another, you're wrong. You've got to love those that hate you.
Yes.
That persecute you.
Amen.
Say all manner of evil against you falsely.
Jesus.
That proves whether you're a Christian or not.
Amen.
Now, how many of us have the Holy Ghost?
Right.
How many of us have Jesus Christ living within us?
Amen.
How many of us want and know we're short and we need Him? We need Him. We need His presence. We need His leadership. We need His attitude.
Amen. That's right.
You'll find in this pages, these paragraphs I just gave you, that Brother Branham explains the cloud picture, even about an angel being turned to his right. You'll hear him talk about the Alaskan earthquake. You'll hear him talk about the three-cornered rocks at Sunset Mountain. He tells part of Junior Jackson's dream. And even where the word sunset comes from.
Yeah.
Now, somebody told Brother Branham that mountain he was on was Sunset Peak. But Sunset Peak is how many miles away, Austin? 20 or something miles away from it. But somebody else told him it was sunset. But it's Klondike. It's closer. But somebody told Brother Branham it was Sunset Peak. And so, worldwide, we call it sunset. And people go there, and where's sunset? Well, it's 20 miles over there. How do you explain that? It's just like the picture of the pillar of fire in Houston, Texas. Brother Branham said it hangs in the Hall of Art in Washington, D.C. Has anybody ever seen it? I have people all the time calling me. They're in Washington, D.C. They want to go see that picture. Who can show them where it is? I've been there to the National Art Gallery. I've asked the curator. I've looked in the files. There is no record of that picture ever being there. The only place I found it in Washington, D.C. was in the copyright file in the Library of Congress. I can walk you to the drawer and show you the file. At least three times somebody's gone there and stole it out of there. And we've had to replace it. But why did Brother Branham say it hangs in the Religious Art Gallery in Washington, D.C.? Did somebody tell him? Did he see it? Or was it by vision he saw it? Now, if it was by vision, it didn't have to be. It can be. That's the reason that we've had a real nice 11 by 14 made, put in a silver frame, and I left it with Brother Wall. Do you know Becky, if he's ever done anything with it? I left it with him, and I said, if we ever hang it, you see, the Mellon family gave about $3 million to build a new art gallery for photographs, and in that art gallery of photographs, they have a room for religious leaders of America. They got Billy Graham and Wesley and people like that that was there, and they're already in there. And I've been in that room, and I've said, right there is where we're going to hang Brother Branham someday. Then I can say that prophecy has been fulfilled.
Yes, amen.
In other words, no, Brother Branham said it was there. It's been there. But have you ever heard anybody say they saw it? There's one man that says he saw it, but he couldn't tell me where or when. Now, I love that brother, but I believe he had a dream. Because I've gone there and checked, and there's no record of it ever being there. Now, somebody says, well, why you want to talk about that? You see, the Bible says, be prepared to give an answer to those who ask you.
Right.
And maybe some people don't expose themselves to it, but I am exposed to the people of the world out there. It's just like Brother Branham was hunting on February the 28th. Well, if he was hunting on February 28th, if you take that literally, on February the 27th, he killed a pig. Well, the season was not open until March the 5th. So Brother Branham was hunting illegal. I don't believe he did that. So when we showed that to the brothers, there must have been some kind of a special cheating, a special exempt. Why do you have to make excuses for the truth?
Amen.
Why not just take what Brother Branham said? He did not go hunting until after he was in Houston. And he was in Houston on March the 4th. He preached the message absolute, which I wanted to play you this morning, but maybe tonight, which he preached four times that year. And folks, I'd advise you to listen to all four of those, because he uses the same set of notes. There must have been something quite important that Brother Branham wanted people to know about the absolute.
Amen.
Let me tell you what it was. It was find out what God said and then stake your life on it.
Yes.
That's an absolute. How many of you are willing to take what you believe and say, that's it. I'll die for it.
Amen.
I'll let my soul depend on it. You better be careful. You better make sure you haven't applied the wrong absolute.
Right.
You need to know what it said and what it meant and let God bring it to pass in your life.
Amen?
Amen. So, you say this thing about Houston and all that. You see, I think there's a purpose in this. For all of us to learn that God does things in His season, in His time, in His way. And then Brother Branham comments about this, and he talks about there being a mist. But be careful what you call a mist, because Brother Branham's not talking about it here. He's talking about it's not possible to be up in the atmosphere. There's no humidity up there. He read that out of Life magazine. Life magazine said it's not possible for a cloud to be that high, because there's no water droplets up there to form a cloud. Brother Branham in that same tape says that when he flies overseas, he flies at 9,000 feet to get above the clouds. That's about 5 miles high. Well, 19,000 feet is how high he flew. You're going to take every word and make it your absolute, where you need to let Brother Branham be a man. That way you don't get the picture wrong. But what is the absolute I believe? I believe he was the prophet of Malachi 4.
Amen.
Yes.
He was sent by God to correct those things that had gone off into error.
Amen.
He was to forerun the second coming of the Lord. But I'm going to show you from 1951 to 1950 to 1961
where Brother Branham said that the angel Gabriel is going to introduce the second coming of the Lord, always has, always will, and always has done it. Now, Gabriel, Brother Branham said, we're looking for an angelic message. Was Brother Branham Gabriel? But we know he foreran. That's what the commission came. But where's this angel Gabriel? Now, the reason I say that is because there's two or three Gabriels in this message. Not you. But there are preachers claiming that they are Gabriel, the archangel. And they blow a trumpet and they expect everybody to get excited. There's some people that don't even separate the angel of the Lord from Jesus. When Brother Branham talks about the angel of the Lord, is he talking about Jesus? Let me give you one to start you thinking about it. In the tent vision, the angel of the Lord was talking to Brother Branham, but the pillar of fire went in a little room. When Brother Branham talks about the pillar of fire in Houston, he calls it the angel of the Lord, but he also calls it the Lord. When he talks about the cloud, he talks about the angels of the Lord, but he also calls it the Lord. Now, how are you going to separate? Where are you going to distinguish this? I tell you, folks, if you got the time, start reading.
Amen.
Start listening.
Yes.
Start praying. Find your absolute. Yes. And say, this is what I believe. Then when it comes right down to it, don't put a period behind anything. Say, this is what my spirit says it is. But keep the door open in case you're wrong.
Amen.
You become a denomination when you come along and says, I believe this, period. Brother Bram said, don't do that. And when you know you got everything figured out, he said, there's only one thing you can be sure of, and that is you're wrong. But what's this supposed to do for us? If anything, I want it to eliminate the controversies that separate us.
Amen.
What's really important? Jesus Christ is the Son of Almighty God.
Yes, sir.
And He came to this earth and shed His blood to redeem me from my sins.
Amen.
And He promised me that if I would repent and be baptized in His name, that I could have that same spirit that dwelled in Him. And I could pass from death unto life. And that I could live a life that people could see Jesus Christ in me.
Amen.
That's what I want.
Yes.
And to me, that's something we should all agree on.
Amen.
Brother Branham concludes that tape by saying, some believe He's coming on a white horse. Some believe He's coming on a white cloud. All we know is He's coming.
Yes.
Amen.
How many are willing to have that attitude?
Amen.
He's coming.
Amen.
Oh, but He's already here. Yes, He's been here. He's here now.
Right.
But there's a coming.
Right.
There's a resurrection. There's a catching away.
Amen.
There's a marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
That Brother Branham told me, he said, someday I'll introduce you to the Lord, Brother Green. But I feel like I already know the Lord, but I took it to mean that there'd be a day when I'd see my Lord and Savior. And He'll look like Brother Branham saw Him out there in that sagebrush field.
Yes.
Hoffman's Christ at 33. When Hoffman caught that inspiration of Christ and the rich young ruler.
Amen.
And I know what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be crying.
Amen.
Not sorrow, but overcome with joy. You know, the happiest you've ever been in your life was when you something happened so happy and so emotionally that tears flooded your eyes.
Yes.
You know that.
Yes.
Any of you ever experienced that? Been so happy you cried. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
You appreciate God?
Amen.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. You love Him? I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. God is so good. God stand and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," this morning. Oh, again. I sincerely ask you people to pray for me, because in the midst of all this I feel like a coward. I've caught myself praying, like when I asked the blessing for my food. I said, "Lord, give me strength and courage to serve you faithfully." Brother Branham explained to me one time, because I asked him, why did God give him visions of like the bear and the caribou and the fish and those things? And Brother Bram's answer to me was, "Brother Perry, that's just God's grace to me." He says, "He gives me courage." He said, "You know how much courage it takes to stand in front of 10,000 people? And by vision or discernment, say, 'Your name is Dale Knight, and you've done so and so, or you have so and so.'" He said, "You know how much courage that takes?" He said, "But the same God that gives me the vision of the animals and those things is the same God that shows me that. That's just God's grace to me out here in the bush, letting me know that if He can do that, He can do this."
Yes.
Now, if you want scripture for that, when David told Saul, "I can take that man. I can kill Goliath." Why was David so sure? He gave me the lion and the bear, and the same God gave me that is going to give me him. No different. So help us, Lord, to remember the times when He's been with us. When we know it was Him. Absolutely without a doubt, we knew He was moving in our lives.
Right.
That's the reason I say God's grace is good to us, isn't it?
Amen.
Makes us appreciate the Lord. Amen. Don't doubt God's word. And don't become so entangled and confused and bogged down with these things that seem to be controversial. Let's just love the Lord and love one another, and let love cover a multitude of these things.
Yes.
And I'm a strange one to tell you today, but don't be discouraged. Look up. Our redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you as you go this morning. Heavenly Father,
I appreciate you. Heavenly
Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.